Hey guys, Mickey Woodall here from, the show you're about to listen to. And I'm here to tell you about a way to listen to the show you're about to listen to. Either way, click subscribe to listen to us on iTunes for free. Right, Jason?
Yes, or Stitcher. That works too.
Yes. So if you're listening on our website, keep listening. Or listen on those other platforms. Basically, give us money.
Gentlemen, is it true that in January 2015, you allegedly made certain claims about a Miss Meryl Streep, an actress?
Well, you know, it was really only kind of the planning process at that point, so we didn't think anyone could really...
But
damn it, you never admit!
I'm just trying to be honest here, okay?
All right, fine.
We can plea out and everything will be okay,
we
right?
We started then, yes.
You understand, you just admitted guilt. There isn't really a plea situation if I already know that you did it.
Well, this is a class action lawsuit, so there's no criminal culpability here, right? He's laughing.
Yeah, you'd think that, but, you know, this is... So far, all we've covered is Meryl Streep and... Only a couple of the litigants. The other ones might still press criminal charges. In fact, the estate of... Snoopy Brown,
shit.
You know, Charlie's dog,
uh-huh.
He's not real happy with your most recent episode.
Look,
there were some certain insinuations made that you gentlemen were, you called Snoopy a Nazi?
Okay.
Look, I thought he was the Red Baron. They always called the Red Baron's theme. And I mean, it was playful. It was lighthearted, right?
Not to be pedantic here, but we corrected it and said that he was fighting for the Imperial German Army. Whole different animal, okay? We know that it's not true.
No, he's still a dog.
Just bringing Rommel into it does not change the fact that you accused him of being a Nazi. Publicly, and you didn't edit it beforehand. You do have the potential to edit your podcasts before they broadcast, do you not?
No, we really don't.
It's kind of a one-and-gun thing, you know?
Yeah.
He kicks me out, so I can't really record him after this.
Yeah. Look, is there a way I can just slip you, like, a fiver and just make this thing go away?
A five.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Good old Lincoln.
Yeah. Abraham.
Do you understand the power that Charles Schultz has?
Well, he's dead, so I don't expect much.
How about if a Lincoln was joined by his friend George Washington and his twin George Washington?
That's a solid seven right there.
$7.
That's a chicken breast sandwich at a mid-scale restaurant chain.
You mean like KFC?
Well,
I see here on this that you have a certain... Oh, you don't want to talk about KFC? Suddenly chicken is off the table?
Not that he's off the table. It's just we've already had a few run-ins and semi-possessions with the bamboozling chicken devil.
Ixnay on the amboozling bay ikinche evil day, okay?
Where do you think the new colonel came from? That funny tanned guy that talks with a weird accent that doesn't look at all like the Colonel Sanders we all grew up with.
Oh, now who's accusing people of being things they're not? Donald Trump is not the colonel of KFC, okay?
Never said that.
I have to say, though, that Memphis chicken is whack. Have you guys had that yet?
No, I haven't tried it.
Okay, it's like... The pickles just weird me out a little bit.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that more than like a Chick-fil-A type of
sandwich? Yeah, that's kind of the thing, because I really do like the Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Okay.
You know, they're
really
tasty.
I can't get behind them. They're just so dry, much like my wallet and bank account right now.
Well, that certainly changes the lawsuit a little bit.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. This is all going to be on you now, Jason. I'm sorry. If Mickey has no cash... then we're going to be coming after your estate.
You could always liquidate the studio, right?
If by liquidate you mean set fire to because we have a nice insurance policy, then yeah. Dude, that's what we're going to do. We're going to burn the studio down, collect the insurance money, use it to pay
for... You can't sue a studio that doesn't exist.
That's fraud?
Do I have that on the record?
I mean...
Is the microphone on?
Oh, it's totally covered. Totally covered.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So is that fraud?
Technically, yes.
Fuck it, let's do it
anyway. We'll do it anyways. I like a good fire. I got marshmallows. You like marshmallows?
Sure.
All right.
S'mores. S'mores for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa, hey, we don't got graham crackers or chocolate or anything like that. That's that fancy bougie shit.
Yeah.
No.
Is there anything else, any other last litigants that we need to get out of the way so we can just put this whole ugly business to rest?
No, I think you're good.
Oh, thank God he forgot about Disney.
Oh,
whew. I'm sorry, what?
Nothing, not a damn thing.
No, Walt Disney, because remember all the times we, you know, talked shit about him and his company and
talked
about...
Oh my God, you are the worst in this.
Well, Walt himself I'm not too worried about. Was it the Disney Corporation or any of their properties?
Yeah,
Star Wars or Marvel?
Yeah. No, we have nothing but good things about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Except for Jar Jar Binks, but
yeah.
Even Disney doesn't like Jar Jar Binks.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's racist, true. Yeah, motherfucker. You can't really, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't market that.
That's undefensible.
Yeah. Can we counter-sue them for making Jar Jar Binks?
Or is that No, they didn't make Jar Jar Binks. That's George. And you really don't want to fuck with George.
All right.
He got, like, Death Stars and shit, I think.
Yeah. We can just drive up to the Lucas Ranch and throw some eggs at his door. And...
Yeah, he's probably used to it. They've probably got, like, a Jar Jar target out there just to get it out of the way.
Tar-Tar Binks.
Tar-Tar Binks.
So if we're not going to get our pants sued off, I guess that means that we can go ahead and introduce the show?
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Would you like to stick around, sir?
Sure.
All right.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Welcome to the life and times of a peon in Hollywood. That was the first synchronized one I think we've ever done.
Ooh.
I'm Mickey Woodall.
I'm Jason Carpenter.
And joining us in the studio today is a very good friend of ours.
Paul Rose Jr.
Woohoo!
Woo!
Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Yeah. Now, Paul, before we really delve into anything, I did want to let the audience in on a little tidbit. You know that you were actually one of the first people that I met when I moved to Los Angeles.
Really? I was not aware of that.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
You don't travel outside the house much. So.
Yeah.
That's true.
Do you remember working on a film at the time? It was called A Love Like Ours.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That was actually the first full day that I was living in Los Angeles. I was hustled into working on that set.
Well, it doesn't surprise me, considering who you live with.
Yeah. So we chatted for a while on that set. So, yeah.
I was unaware that was your friend. That's very cool.
Yeah, and I it just occurred to me the other day. I was trying to think back on our history, and I was like, oh, that's pretty darn neat.
Yeah. Well, I think I've done 4 or 5 projects with both of you,
mm-hmm.
usually together, but
yeah,
sometimes
absolutely.
Separate. But yeah.
I believe we met in acting holding on a film with Damien at one point.
Yes, I'm pretty sure
that's
we did.
How we met.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's what they say about Hollywood. It's all about relationships.
Yeah. It is. And it's also a big, small town.
It is.
Yes. It's a very big town, yeah.
It's a small town in the fact that you need a car to go anywhere and it takes you 20 minutes to get to the, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, so, Paul, would you like to give us a brief introduction to who you are, what you do?
Sure.
Fascinating.
That's a great career.
You
know,
that was
perfect. Yeah. You know, I'm a little bit late start for the most people out here in Hollywood. I was 42 before I moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
But came out here to be a writer and an actor and been doing that off and on for about 20 years prior to moving out here from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to kind of break in now, you know, get my foot in the door in the appropriate places.
And that's kind of the name of the game out here.
Yeah.
It's also
much.
Kind of the name of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm getting in on it early, so I don't have to come back later and, you know, mock you.
Well, we'll bring you back later.
Yeah.
You'll still mock us.
Yeah.
Well, With any luck, we'll all be at that level. Yes, so we don't have to.
Yeah, and Paul, I fully hope that by the time you get your staff writing gig on, you know, on whatever show is going on with the network, you'll come by and egg the studio every once in a while just to, you know, just remind
me. Me and Little Gray will come by.
Yeah.
Have you seen Little Gray yet?
I haven't yet. No,
she hasn't come by. She will. She'll just lurk in out of the darkness at some point.
Our resident studio cat.
It seems like every podcast has been getting one of those since Night Vale, but you know.
Yeah, that's you know, we've had to kind of cut the budget a little bit and go with a stray who was hanging out in our backyard.
Yeah.
But you know, cat's a cat. What are you gonna do,
right?
You know.
True enough.
So, have you been on a podcast before?
I have not. This is actually my first podcast.
Okay. Right, wow. That's a
big honor.
Breaking my cherries.
All right.
But I mean, you do voice acting and everything though, right?
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you considered starting one up, like a drama or anything like that?
No, I haven't. Not that. I actually thought about doing it for a while. Doing one talking to people about, faith, because that's actually something that's important to me. I'm a Christian, was raised that way. And that's, there's a lot of misconceptions in the Midwest about how horrible it is here.
Yeah.
These heathens that run Hollywood. And there's actually a lot of people, not just Christians, but those are people I'm drawn to, but also, you know, Muslims and Jewish, obviously. That's a huge thing out here. And even people that are just spiritual. There's a lot of people that are concerned, that are interested in faith and exploring that. And I thought about maybe doing interviews with people about that, just letting them tell their story.
Well, that's a great concept.
Yeah.
You should get on top of that.
Yeah, if you ever do, I'd love to come on and talk about that.
Yeah, sure.
And that's something that it's very interesting that you do mention that, because, you know, I agree. There is a very big misconception that, you know, this is some godless heathen town and everything.
Well, it's still that, but yeah. You know, go to the right club.
But I do find that a lot of actors and artistic people, you know, there's a stereotype that actors and showbiz types are very superstitious people, but I think it's also true that, you know, there is a lot of spirituality and you know, a very deep, you know, well of religiosity out here as well.
Yeah.
There is especially during the 1920s, it's very interesting. There was a lot of, you know, Christian revival movements and Eastern spirituality kind of got its embarkment point, you know, in Los Angeles.
Well, you know, Hollywood was originally, the city of Hollywood was originally founded as a religious commune.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. That's actually what it was for. Mm-hmm. In the 1920s, actually, the city of Los Angeles annexed it because Hollywood was way out of money.
Yeah.
And that's when they opened. Prior to that, they had no theaters. Mm-hmm. They had no entertainment. Nothing could come in there.
No bars.
It was a dry state. Yeah. Or it's not state, but dry city and whatnot. But yeah.
And then the oil barons came in.
Yeah.
And they found the oil.
Yeah.
Daniel Plainview was like, no, I need my whiskey and murder. That's what I thrive on, Eli.
Except it wasn't Daniel Plainview. It was
Getty.
Kardashian? Not. Yeah. some Armenian guy that was in there, and I'm an oil man, you know?
Well, we were trying to get up to the Getty Center this weekend.
This past weekend. Yeah. They had a thing on the history of alchemy. And they had like original texts and artistic renderings and everything like that from all the way back into the medieval times and so on and so forth.
Okay, very cool.
From multiple points and everything. Unfortunately, Jason fell sick, so we couldn't quite make it up there. But I did as much research on their website and looked at some of their stuff as I could. You know?
Well, that's the interesting thing. And to get back to the topic of the Gettys really quick, because that's where the thing's being housed. It's really crazy because, you know, the Gettys were straight up robber barons. They were oil tycoons. Yeah. And I think J.P. Getty was the patriarch of that family, and he was the one who, you know, started all these charitable things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the name of his son, but he was basically the real life Indiana Jones. He would go around the world, and the reason the Getty Center has so many of these, you know, great pieces of art and these ancient artifacts was that this Getty Jr. would traipse around the globe during the 1920s and 30s, find these rare artifacts, and I guess the modern term for what he did would be stealing them.
He was a treasure hunter.
He was acquiring them by the
forcible means,
judicious payment of bribes to colonial officials. And, but
they weren't using them.
Yeah.
Worships a cat statue.
Yeah. He just goes to some Egyptian guy. He's like, Hamid, are you using this? He's like, it's in the ground, man. Take it. Give it. I don't give a shit. But yeah, it's a very interesting thing, and I'm so fascinated with that history of early Hollywood and you know, all the crazy stuff that was happening here when you know, when this town was was first really booming and coming into its own
nearly 100 years ago.
Which in the in the grand scheme of things, compared to some other cities around the world, it's just like
Richmond, where we came from, back in 1776.
No, no, I was thinking, along the lines of like, you know, Damascus and Jericho and stuff like that. You know, 10,000 years continuous habitation.
Were you born in the Middle East? I don't think so.
Well, it depends on who you're asking.
Got to be careful with that business.
Anyway. So, yeah, it's all kinds of fun tidbits. So, yeah, you got any funny, interesting stories, Paul? Wait, put him on the spot. Yeah,
on him,
dude. It's great because nobody can see his face as he's trying to, like, as Mickey hits the actual spotlight.
I was going to try and
turns on the lights, but they don't come on.
You know what? I'm not going to bother plugging in the spotlight. We're already running way overhead of our bills this month.
I don't know.
I tell you, renting the studio space is...
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You gotta wake up, put on pants, walk a few doors down.
Wait, you guys are wearing pants?
Well, they're kind of like really long socks.
Okay. Because I...
No. It's pants-free in here. Right, feel free. Right.
Just making sure. Because, I mean, Jason made it clear I didn't have to wear them if I didn't want to.
No.
Look, I'm just...
We put this rule into effect that any guests that came on really didn't have to wear any article of clothing they didn't want to. Of course, we thought we were going to have a lot more female guests, but it's been pretty male-dominated up until this point.
Yeah, but we invited
Andrew's kind of...
He floats between.
He does.
He's fluid in his gender identity.
Well, we're still trying to get the bit flat cannon going on the show, Paul. I'm sure you've heard about that idea. And Andrew stubbornly refuses to be loaded into and shot out of a cannon. I don't understand it.
I don't understand
that. He's just not willing to take one for the
sacrifice
team.
Sacrifice to a volcano, sure, but you know the cannon. That's the
volcano's fine. Oh, that was a Tom Hanks movie. Whoa, you know.
Well, that's kind of the thing.
I'm not arguing that point.
That's kind of the thing with Andrew. If you want to sell him on anything, tell him Tom Hanks did it first, and then he will do it in a minute.
So
I thought that was just the mermaid thing he was into, but okay.
Andrew's mermaid fetishes are kind of his own thing.
Man, he's going to be so pissed off when he listens to this episode. He's going to be listening and like, wait, what the hell? Guys!
That's Andrew Flack, spelled F-L-A-C-K.
Yeah, you want to add another person to that class action lawsuit?
Yeah, he's got no money, so that's not even an issue.
There we go, there we go.
Oh, you're right.
He can't afford my hourly wage.
So, Paul, aside from being a fictitious show business, what's that?
It works.
I guess I have to ask such an open-ended question is, have you got any good stories?
Yeah.
Which, you know, because you're a writer, so I guess you want to be paid to have those produced and read on air. I was going to say, what's
ideally,
the,
but sure.
Can you tell us about the most interesting or strange job you've had out here in Los Angeles, either film-related or non?
I mean, does it have to be contained to just Los Angeles?
I suppose not, but...
I really should have prepped something for this.
It's okay. We're just kind of throwing things at you.
I'm really good at laying on the floor. Damien seems to like to use me for that a lot.
Yeah, he used me for that too.
He always makes me dress like a clown.
Yeah, he does that too.
Oh, that's not your normal... Every time I've seen you, I thought that was just what you like to wear.
It's mostly because
I'm just a juggalo trying to get through in this world.
I was going to say, Mickey, mostly because you wear the Juggalo paint to every single recording.
And the funny thing is, I don't even listen to them.
Who listen to who?
The Juggalos.
Oh, your favorite British invasion band, the Juggalos?
Yes.
Just four lads from Manchester who like to drink Faygo, play upbeat pop, and commit gang-related murders. It's very sweet.
They're overrated. I mean, they stole other stuff from ICP anyway.
That's true. All right, fine. But,
oh, wait. Dang it. Now I'm going to have to write that down.
We have a line of paper and pencil products.
Oh, do you
know? That we're trying to get off the ground here. Mickey was talking about t-shirts earlier.
Yeah.
Any Jamoke can make a t-shirt. It takes some real special skill to go to the CVS, buy a 3-pack of legal pads, and write Life and Times of Piano and Hollywood on every single page, and then sell them for $5 a pop.
Isn't that just Etsy?
I knew there was a better place for selling these things than eBay. I knew it. Man.
I really wish I had a good story for this. I know I have one, but I can't think of it.
Hey, man, it's all right. We can just keep on rolling.
We're like Limp Bizkit in that way.
Yeah,
we just keep rolling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I never realized.
Must be a generational thing.
I never realized
until I was older that their album, Chocolate Starfish and Hot Dog Flavored Water, was talking about an anus and semen.
Yeah, that was...
I had no clue. But I think I blame a lot of that on the fact that when I was a kid, I really liked those chocolate starfish from Godiva.
Very unfortunate name for a...
They were. I don't think they realized it when they made them.
Yeah. You know what? That kind of thing makes me so happy that growing up, I was a nerd who liked listening to, like, my parents' music. So I never had to go through the awkward thing of being like, it's like, why won't you buy me this album, Mom and Dad?
That's the problem. That was me listening to my dad's music.
Yeah.
I remember a youth group trip that we took. We drove to the airport like 3 hours, and I wasn't necessarily into it. My friends were into Prince. Sit in the back seat and really loudly say the wrong lyrics so they didn't hear what actually Sister Nikki was doing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And nonsense like that. So there's a good story.
Yeah.
Did you have to explain?
I met her in a hotel lobby answering classified ads in a magazine.
I think growing up I listened to some really dirty ass music, mm-hmm. and just it all flew over my head, so my parents never had to worry about it. They just bought the clean versions of the album, and so as long as it didn't curse, it was fine.
Yeah,
well, they market that now to kids. You know, you get the kids bop. It's like, really, Britney Spears?
Yeah,
that's what you want your children listening to?
New Kesha soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah. Can I bring something up?
Of course,
to you guys. So
you sure can. We might run with it.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to guess that out of the two of you, Paul probably watched more of the Super Bowl.
I heard there was a big important episode of Sportsball last night.
I actually didn't watch any of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, my man!
So in that case, I'm the person who watched the most of the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah,
which is when I tuned in to the last 3 minutes to see the whole city of Atlanta's hopes and dreams being ground into crashed, a fine dust. But
they don't even have a deflated
I turned on Heidi.
Here.
I mean, I figured the Falcons had it.
So. Yeah.
I started watching The Wire, so it's kind of like watching the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all are on YouTube, so we get to watch the Super Bowl commercials.
Actually,
I did that.
Now, I would like to bring something up that I noticed this year, and maybe I just haven't been watching a lot of TV, but did anybody else notice that the Super Bowl commercials were just graphically sexual in an incredible way that I have not noticed? You know, there's one episode of advertisement.
Those episodes are commercials,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. With, I think it was an advertisement for either Sprint or AT&T with Kristen Shaw in it.
T-Mobile
calling her provider and like dirty talking them when she was asking about all the features she's going to get on her thing. And I was kind of watching that and I was like, This is broadcast on prime time on a major network.
That wasn't nearly as bad as seeing Mr. Clean's junk.
Oh yeah,
I
haven't watched any of the commercials yet, so
yeah. Let's just say I now know what women want, and it's never going to happen. So
is it Mr. Clean? Because fuck, I'm screwed. I will never be cleaning my house.
That's the thing. You just look at Mr. Clean. You're like, oh, that's how Vin Diesel and The Rock do it. I bet their girlfriends are all the time just like mop the floor. It's like this. They're like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, you like that? She's like, yeah, actually, okay. Next thing you need to vacuum, take out and beat the rugs. The Batman, you need to scrub the grout in the bathroom.
Jason, you got to be inclusive. Vin Diesel is homosexual.
No, that's not true.
I don't know. That's what the tabloids tell me.
What? Do you want to get sued by Vin Diesel too?
No, I want to play D&D with him someday.
Okay, well that's not the way to go about it. You know, I was like, Mr. Diesel, you heard about what we said about you on our podcast? Like, what podcast? Like,
we're good.
Dodged a bullet there.
Yeah.
Our lack of notoriety saved us once again.
Good thing there's no Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about disturbing commercials,
okay.
I don't know if you guys have seen this one, but it's been playing on Hulu quite a lot lately. Mm-hmm. It's for a insurance company. I can't remember which one, But anyways,
Affleck.
No, it's not Affleck. Okay. It's Geico. More respected one. But anyways, a bunch of knights come running up as because Humpty Dumpty's falling off the wall.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was in the Super Bowl too.
I'm sorry, the moment where it shows where they've, like, pieced him back together before they get him to the hospital and he's just got, like, the vomit of yolk coming out of his mouth is disturbing as all fuck. Because this is, like, a fleshy Humpty Dumpty, like, as if it was made from human skin, and it's fucking weird, right? It's nightmare fuel a little bit, right? Yeah. I'm not crazy.
I would like to go out on a limb here and just remind everybody that nowhere in the Mother Goose tale does it actually say that Humpty Dumpty is an egg.
You're right. He's always portrayed that way. I mean, we're all to understand that it's actually like a 7-year-old child who was balancing on the wall, saw something he wasn't supposed to, was taken by the, you know, head of the Queen's Guard and thrown off a tower, right?
That sounds like something else. Beastmaster, right?
You're right, I'm thinking of Beastmaster.
Yeah.
Fucking Game of Thrones, they're stealing all the Mother Goose tales!
Well, you know, they had to get to him before Once Upon a Time got to it.
Bazing! Once Upon a Time just kind of took a weird turn when they're like, hey, Frozen's a big deal. Let's capitalize on that.
Yeah.
That got a little weird.
And they're coming out with another show. I don't know if it's out yet. Descendants, where it has the kids of the Disney villains.
I think that's already out. It's a Disney Channel show, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on Disney Channel.
Yeah.
D23 or one of their... They've been like six.
Yeah, how do they handle that? Like, I'm very interested to see that show.
With a lot of money.
You ain't lying.
Sorry, did I just kill the flow with a joke?
No, I'm just thinking about the... you said you ain't lying. I was trying to find a way to, you know, kind of like edge in a Lion King joke there, but...
I was a lame lion in elementary school. My elementary school's mascots were the lions.
And you were one that was hurt? Is that what...
No, Anthony T. Lane.
Oh, Lane.
Yes, okay. I was a lame lion.
I'm like, okay.
If you asked most of the bullies in that school, I was a lame lion.
I don't remember what my elementary school mascot was. We were Washington Henry Elementary School, George Washington Patrick Henry. I want to go out and say we were the Patriots?
The Colonialists.
The Colonialists. The Founding Fathers of Virginia.
I say, you're not from Virginia, are you?
Yeah.
Or Maryland, one of those.
Yeah.
It's all the same thing, you know, it just kind of blurs.
DC, Virginia, Maryland area.
Yeah, just a mid-Atlantic blob covered in Old Spice seasoning and a veneer of, you know, colonial architecture.
Reeking of crab cakes.
Yeah. You know. I'd love to have that description applied to me one day. It's like, well, what did he look like? He was about 5'4", brown skin. Reeked of crab cakes. He's like, I think we know who you're talking about.
Dodge!
if you're smothered in Old Spice, would you still reek of crab cakes? Or would that be the feat that you're smothered in Old Spice and all they can still smell is the crab cake?
That's a tough one. I don't know, because, you know, we just put Old Spice on everything.
It's true.
Old Bay. We've been saying Old Spice.
Old Bay.
Guys.
Oh, the seasoning?
Yeah,
the
seasoning.
Okay, yes.
Guys, don't put Old Spice.
Old Spice on
don't
crab
put
cakes.
Old Spice on your seafood. Don't do it, guys.
Or do it. Thin the herd, man.
I can imagine that would not go well for some people. I think some other like group of teenagers would find a great new way to get high. From just grinding deodorant onto their seafood.
Look, all of us were at that one point when we were going on our first date, and you're like, I really want everything to just smell right. And you spray the spray of cologne in your mouth, and you regret it immediately.
I never did that.
Never did that? Was
no.
that just
you ever
me?
Do that,
no.
Paul? Yeah,
no.
I think.
Oh, fuck. I don't think I've ever.
I watched too many cartoons.
You know that when they did the cartoons, they didn't like it either, though, right?
Yeah, but they still did it. And I was like, maybe this is one of those things where it's like, no pain, no gain. I mean, women wear heels. Why don't we spare our mouths with cologne?
I actually wrote a research paper on this. Abstract. Tastes like shit. Introduction. Don't do it, man. I failed the class. Granted, it was also a statistics course, so...
So why are you writing about that?
Because I don't... understand the number system.
It's okay. You'll learn English eventually, man.
All right, yeah. Bienvenidos a Life and Times of a Piano in Hollywood. Oh, my gosh. So,
So, how's the voice acting game treating you?
It's all right. I did a lot more before I moved out here.
Really?
It's actually very difficult to get into around here.
That's what I hear. It's kind of like a weird mafia closed kind of thing out here.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I've actually, a friend of mine from college actually teaches at Second City, teaches improv for voiceover.
Oh, okay.
And he does a podcast where he's got a lot of people on. I'm like, oh, this is, you know, I'm learning a lot of stuff from it. But no, I auditioned for a commercial for NBC that was some sort of extreme wrestling thing, or not WCW, but one of those, you know, matches. And I had to do it in English and Spanish, and I don't know whether they, you know, I never heard back. But
that's kind of the game, though, you know, 100 no's and then that one yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, audiobooks is actually kind of a cool thing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I've been listening to Audible a lot lately and getting really into audiobooks, and that's kind of a career path I'm trying to move to too, is voice acting and everything. It's one of those things where, like, I see all the audition calls for, like, NBC and the voiceovers and stuff like that. Who puts out audition calls for audiobooks, though? I never see those. Well,
we're actually going to get something that's going to be helpful to people for a change. ACX.com.
Okay.
It stands for Amazon Creative Exchange.
Okay.
ACX, you can set up a free profile and actually put up voice samples and whatnot, and you can see all the books that people are offering that they need auditions for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can do all of that completely free. You don't have to be union. Unfortunately, most of it is paid based on sales.
Sure.
So you don't get, like, a chunk up front, but, you know, it balances out. And then they do about 60-70% of it, and then the other 30% is done by private companies. But Audible is Amazon, so they go through there.
Because I mean, sometimes
Rand McNally does it separately or whatever.
Yeah, because I mean, some of the audiobooks on Audible, they got some really big names. Because I love whenever I hear Tim Curry do one of the books, he's amazing. He does a lot of fantasy novels, and it's perfect for him.
Sure.
But there's also some no-namers that come in there, and he's just like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally you get like a Neil Gaiman, I think, reads some of his own stuff, which is kind of cool, just to hear his pronunciation of, like, oh, that's what it's supposed to sound like, you know? But yeah, that's ACX.com is the place to go, and you can do it all, set it all up and record it yourself.
And I know that, I don't know if ACX is a part of the same program, but I know that Amazon also has, they have open submissions for scripts,
TV
pilots, and everything like that. I don't know if that's part of the same program, but that's another thing that they offer, where they basically allow you to submit anything that you've written to be made into an Amazon original or to be produced. You know, people who are looking for things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well it's worked out. I don't know of any. I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure there's plenty of them out there. But I don't watch very much Amazon video on demand. That's the thing. Netflix is just, you know, a lot more convenient.
The big boys.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know of an example where I know people have submitted stuff and they've even got story tools that you can use.
Yeah.
Like for storyboarding and for mapping out your thing, even like an alternative to the final draft that you can use through Amazon.
Yeah, I know they're trying to break into that market.
I don't know anybody that's actually, I mean, all the shows I've watched on Amazon are high-level productions. They're not, you know.
But transparent.
That,
transparent,
I think that
Bosch.
seems to be the kind of model of the streaming video services is that they'll come out and start out by launching, you know, four or five prestige titles, like really intense, excellent, high-quality production that they pour a lot of resources into. And as they get more viewership, then they start, you know, taking on riskier projects, things of a lower budget and things like that. I've been seeing a lot on Netflix recently, and especially a lot of British programming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we were talking about that last episode.
Yeah.
They're just kind of, or maybe it was the episode before that, but where they're just kind of, like, flooding it with new stuff.
They're spending, like, $2 billion this year.
Wow.
The Amazon set a goal that they were going to release, and of course they release... not Amazon, sorry, Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
They release like 6 or 10 episodes at a time, one show a week, every single week for the whole year.
That's crazy. Well, wow. I mean, it explains a lot, because they're even just now, we're only, midway through February, and they've got like 3 or 4 that are already just like knocking it out the park.
Yeah.
And also, while we're on this topic, I need to correct something that I said before. The show that I recommended, Frontier, started off as a Discovery Channel show, and Netflix bought the rights to the first season, okay, and no is kidding. Now the one making it.
Sure. Oh. Sort of like what they did with Black Mirror, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what they did with Black Mirror, like they did with Arrested Development, the Star Wars, mm-hmm. Clone Wars.
Trailer Park Boys.
But, you know, I'm okay with them doing that, because they're killing it.
Yeah. And they have the resources to throw at these
shows. I mean, that
new
season of Black Mirror was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And on the same topic, Apple recently made some noise that they're trying to get into the video on demand mm-hmm. thing as well. Yeah. If you want to talk about companies with assets to throw around,
They've been kind of pushing that idea for a mm-hmm. couple of years now, because I know it was I think it was 2015, they were rumoring mm-hmm. around the mill and then kind of backed off it. They were going to start doing with Apple TV where instead of having a cable subscription to sign into mm-hmm. like CBS streaming or all those streamings or whatever, you could literally just buy a subscription to the channels you wanted access to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've been kind of toying with that idea for a little bit.
Yeah. And I know that's part of their plan. Apple and Amazon and all these other tech companies are looking to kind of break the telecom monopoly on set-top boxes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like 10 years ago, I said, within a certain amount of time, you're not going to have any more appointment television
mm-hmm.
or days that you watch it. You're just going to say, okay, these are the shows I want. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, the next newest episode downloads, and you watch it whenever you want to watch it. Yeah. You know?
Prescient observation.
Yeah, that's where it was going.
Yeah, but, I mean, cable is all but dead at this point. I mean, it's kind of pretty much everyone in our generation has backed off, or they keep it around because their parents come to visit or something like to that.
Well,
effect.
The other thing that you have to have cable for a lot of times is, like, if you want to watch FX or MTV, you can't watch the app unless you can sign in with the freaking cable provider, which is
but, you
bullshit.
Know, but. Even more so than that, though, is that it's not even so much that live TV is dying, it's just the cable companies, because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I'm about to start having live TV again, but I'm not going through a cable company, I'm going with PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the PlayStation View?
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
That looks awesome.
You pay, like, I pay, like, $20 a month, and I get access to, like, 100 channels, and they're not even, like, the cheapo channels, they're, like, the premium channels.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's worth it. I mean,
well, we'll see how long that lasts. My parents always told me is that when cable TV first came out, the big promise was you're paying for it. There's not going to be any commercials.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And we all see where that went. So.
Well, it's the same thing. I pay for CBS's app, and I'm like, why am I paying? Why are you showing me commercials if I'm paying to see your shows?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, Hulu is especially vicious with that, where you get you have Hulu Plus, and you're like, all right, sign up for Hulu Plus, and you're not going to have to watch any more commercials. And as you're watching Hulu Plus, there's a commercial that says, if you really don't want to get commercials, you just sign up for Hulu Ultra.
Whatever, yeah. Well, you know, the thing, though, is Hulu is finally starting to make it good to pay that you're paying for. You may still get commercials, but now you get access to all the streaming movies that they have on there and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
well, I'm pretty sure Hulu actually phased out the commercials now.
Oh,
now, there's just the one tier that you can get at
kidding.
Now. I think so.
I haven't been watching.
Is it getting grandfathered in? Because I'm still paying, and
I
have commercials.
I'm not sure. Yeah,
yeah. Because there is a tier that you can pay for no commercials.
Right, for no commercials. But yeah, that's what I'd heard that they were.
Maybe
that's not happening yet. Yeah,
eventually. Yeah. Oof. I don't want to pay no $13 a month for Hulu.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I already do it for fucking HBO.
Yeah, and you're already paying for all this stuff on top of it. Well, that's the thing. That's the one nice thing about, you know, still paying for cable, which I do, is that, you know, now Spectrum. It's not Time Warner anymore. It's Spectrum.
Oh,
so they can try to fool people. It's like, no, we're somebody else. See, we're wearing the smiley face mask.
I literally had an argument with a lady on Facebook the other day. She's like, no, I signed up for Spectrum. It's so much better than Time Warner. I'm like, it's the same thing. She's like, no, they gave me a faster internet and better than. I'm like, you're a moron.
It's called a signing bonus with a rebrand.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's just arguing on Facebook in general.
That's true.
You know, you're never going to convince anybody, even no matter how wrong they are.
Yeah. I had an argument last night with someone because now this is someone I've known for, you know, mm-hmm. 10 plus years, but they posted a post that was talking. It was a news segment from clearly like Fox or one of those brand names that approves of Trump, and was saying how, oh, well, the Muslim ban isn't about Muslims and it's not a ban. No one's getting hurt. It's just a temporary fix. You know, basically trying to dispel all the normal stuff. And I went on there and I was like, dude, this is not you. What the fuck are you doing? Yeah, no one got hurt. Sure, uh-huh, whatever. And just kind of blew his spot up. And he starts going on and on about, oh, well, you know, if you had looked at the rest of my Facebook, you would have seen that I don't support this at all. I just posted this to get people's attention, and clearly it worked. I had to go on and just have this entire argument with him of like, no, it is not my duty to go on there and look through what all the rest of your fucking posts are before I respond to this one that you're putting with no comment
right.
as like your face, you know? I mean, yeah.
And you're just doing it to poke the bear.
Yeah, it's literally, it's like, well, if you poking the bear, what did you think I was going to say?
Right.
Fuck.
We should start a website called Poke the Bear that just exists for people to have these arguments in cyberspace.
It's either that or we start one where it's just a live video stream of a bear den. With the promise that at some point or another we will find said den and run in and poke the bear and try and run the fuck out.
Who's gonna volunteer to be the first bear poker?
I'll poke that fucking bear.
You're a better man than I, Gunga Din.
I'm chugging down some Jack Daniels and I'm gonna fight a grizzly.
Yeah, if you're gonna fight a grizzly, the Jack Daniels is the drink to sponsored by Frontier. Now on Netflix. Yeah, but I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but I think this is the greatest argument I've ever seen on the internet. This is on the bodybuilding forums, which, as we know, is a repository of enlightened discourse.
Yes, of course.
There was a guy on there who was trying to argue that, and I don't remember the exact nature of what they were saying, but this guy could not understand that there were 7 days in a week and not eight. And there was literally 20 pages of comments of argument trying to convince this guy that the week isn't made up of 8 days that wrap around. It's made up of 7 distinct days, and it's all the days you have in the week. Guys, I encourage you to go, just Google search it, you'll find it.
You sure he wasn't just trolling this website?
Okay, here's the thing. It fell into that level of trolling where it was indistinguishable from being idiocy or trolling.
Right.
Okay.
And that is the ultimate trolling.
That is mastered at a level.
True.
You know, because I think some people nowadays, first of all, I think the whole concept behind trolling is a pretty, you know,
fun,
jackastical
fun.
Thing to do.
Shut up.
Like
it's fun.
And especially on Facebook, when you're using your real name, going on to going to somebody else and saying something deliberately insulting and provocative just to, you know, get a rise out of them
right.
is, you know, kind of a, like I said, a jackastical thing to do.
It's a great term, by the way.
And I love it, you know. But on an anonymous forum
trademark.
Like that, full of
yeah.
you know people, full of full of steroids and dash dreams, it just takes a whole new level. I just fantastic.
You know, Paul, I heard something about you used to be a police officer at one point.
Yes, that's correct.
Are you willing to talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were mining for some fun stories there as someone who has family members that used to be on the force, mm-hmm. you know. I know there's some interesting stuff that comes up, but where were you a cop at?
In Florida.
In Florida?
Yeah,
okay, so in the fun state of Florida.
Yes. Well, it's actually not as bad as...
I was going to say, is it really that bad?
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
So were you an officer in your hometown?
Yeah. I was a sheriff's deputy in Lee County, Florida.
Okay.
Which is on the Gulf Coast of Florida.
Sure, yeah.
So,
go on. Did you?
Yeah, I was gonna. I was gonna ask. Is you know, just overall, was that a positive experience? Something that you was it work you enjoyed doing or?
Yeah, it was.
You're here now.
So yeah,
probably incredibly
thankless. Yeah. Yes. My father was a cop for 40
mm-hmm.
years.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In Ohio, and then when we moved to Florida, he was mm-hmm. he was an officer there, and that was. I was actually working in news, doing
mm-hmm.
journalism
wow.
at an NBC affiliate,
mm-hmm.
and did some of that stuff, and then there was a position opened up that allowed me to do that and
mm-hmm.
Join the sheriff's office.
Okay.
And I did that for a while. Did that for about a year before I went through the academy and then mm-hmm. became fully certified and did that
mm-hmm.
for another 11 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Well, you know... One thing that I always loved when I was growing up, when I would talk to my stepdad, who was a detective in Fairfax County,
okay,
where
sure.
I grew up, one thing that he said, most cops won't talk about, but they always seem to notice at night, is that that's when you'll see some of the more weird and spooky kind of things. Not so much like criminal wise, but just weird things
like
you can't quite
stuff?
Explain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just can't quite explain it. Did you ever have any run-ins?
I didn't really. No.
No.
I've not. Yeah. I mean, I've heard other stories of stuff, but. I've never really, I've had a couple personally, but nothing mm-hmm. that, and that was, you know, when I was a teenager or yeah, high school, college. But nothing when I was an officer. I mean, had to arrest a 6-year-old kid one time. That was fun. They were vandalizing some properties, and the people that were the owners took it very seriously. So we had to,
It was one of those things of like you take them down to the station, and then mom comes and gets them.
Yeah. More of a scared straight type of thing.
I had one or two of those in my past.
Well, I hope that kid learned his lesson. I think it might be better to kind of get in trouble when you're 6 years old and turn things around than when you're 17.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of on the cusp of you know the point of no return.
And that is the Deep South, you know. There's a high.
Well, Florida. Well,
see, technically, you're gonna do this bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. Because everyone's like, well, Florida's not really the South, and okay. There were two big metropolitan areas where I was at, Cape mm-hmm. Coral and Fort Myers. Mm-hmm. Both of them founded as kind of retirement communities, but mm-hmm. then there was where we actually lived, which is a little thing called Pine Island, which is actually mm-hmm. three little cities of its own. Okay, Cape Coral, we had one black family, and it was actually a mixed family. And mm-hmm. one of my friends in high school who was out here for a while, and then like junior year of high school, another black family moved in. Mm-hmm. And we have 300,000 people, two black families in the whole town. And there were stories of Pine Island where, you know, the couple of black families that did try to live out there, went on vacation, came home, their house was burned to the ground and shit like that. So where I lived in the particular part was very much redneck South type of thing, you know, and there was still the retirement and the more higher end stuff, but yeah, it depends on where in Florida. Cause like you get Jacksonville, you know, Miami's not the South at all,
no.
But yeah, there are portions of Florida that are very much.
Well, I've taken some trips through there. I've seen some shacks, you know.
Yeah.
I know how that
there's,
goes,
there's literally one place you go to by Okeechobee. It's you're now entering the spec capital of the world, and you pass four houses, and you're now leaving the spec capital. Literally, it's just this little bridge you go over, and that's the whole town.
Well, yeah, and there's also that old chestnut about there's three parts of Florida. Okay. South Georgia, Disneyland, and Cuba.
Yeah. That's true, yeah, yeah.
You know. So
what, no Daytona Beach in there? I mean, come on, bike week, man.
Daytona still falls in within Miami. The Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Daytona.
Yeah. It's all
West Palm.
Yeah. If MTV will film Spring Break there, it just kind of counts.
Oh, well, we were like the second runner-up. The beach. Like for 3 years in a row, it's like, oh, MTV's going to. No, they didn't. Girls Gone Wild came there. But
they did. Uh-huh. Small town, beach, nothing better to do. Right, exactly. We've all been there. Yeah. I actually partied on a Girls Gone Wild bus once.
Really?
Yeah, it was during beach week right after graduation. Me and my boys and one of their girlfriend who happened to be there with us went to a club. And we were going because everyone was like, oh, well, they have suds parties, which is where they flood the dance floor with, you know, bubbles and whatnot. And we got there and didn't realize that it was Girls Gone Wild night, and they had the bus out there and the cameras rolling. And it was a hell of a time, but we ended up on the bus for a little bit of time. And whew, let me tell you, I've seen some things, man, that don't go in the places they went.
Okay, that's an image I can't get out of my head.
That one. See, I've just learned whenever Mickey tells these sort of stories to just kind of let it go in one ear, out the other. Don't give it time to process. Just let it slide on out. Like, I'm sure those anatomy parts did not.
That was
hard. See, I'm immune to it. I'm just used to it. But the other people, they get the residual.
See, you built up,
Oh, my God.
It's kind of my hopes with this podcast is that by the time I make it big, so many people in this city will be immune to what I say that it won't be a problem.
But doesn't that, damage your brand? Like, you know, you still want to be able to, shock people.
You know what? Mel Gibson's up for an Oscar this year.
I was going to say.
Good for him. Good for him.
And M. Night Shyamalan's had a movie number one 3 weeks in a row. So.
Yeah, that's kind of blowing my fucking mind a little bit.
Exactly.
It's it's pretty amazing. Well, but
Jurassic Park had a comeback recently, so it's Star Wars. So
yeah.
Start questioning that world, my friend.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Hacksaw Ridge is a...
Oh, fantastic film.
An amazing movie. And, you know, and as you were talking about earlier, it's a faith movie.
Yeah.
In a really big way.
Yeah.
There's another one. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a one about a pacifist medic in the Battle of the Bulge. It was the guy was a Seventh Day Adventist. Okay. And I think that the church actually provided a lot of money to help produce the film.
That makes sense, yeah.
I don't remember the title of it, but I wish I could remember because I actually saw it. It was a good movie. But
well, I know the other one that I really want to see that's a faith-based movie, was it Silence?
Oh, Silence, yeah, mm-hmm. Scorsese.
Where he's talking about Christianity in Japan during the religious revolution.
Yeah.
Looks fantastic. I mean, yeah. Scorsese, how can you really go wrong with that? I mean, he has a track record, but...
Oh, and speaking, while we're on the topic of faith-based films, Paul, I saw on Facebook that you recently saw the film The Resurrection of Gavin Stone.
Yes, yeah.
What did you think of the movie?
It was actually really well done. Mm-hmm. Facebook friend directed it. I actually know his father better than I know him.
Mm-hmm.
His father is one of the people that wrote the Left Behind books.
Mm-hmm.
It's Brett Dalton, who's Grant Ward from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s first two seasons. Playing just a playboy guy that basically gets stuck in his, it's Illinois, yeah, he's stuck in his hometown because of some partying that, in fact, he wasn't responsible for, but they blamed him because he was the big face, and so he was sentenced to community service, and he does it, and he ends up basically saying, oh, I'm a Christian, so he can be in the play, playing Jesus in their big passion type thing. And they actually did a really good job with it, and it doesn't have some of the really cheesy, lazy writing that you see in a lot of I hate to say it, but a lot of Christian films are aimed at the Christian ghetto, the people that already believe everything that they're saying, and why are you having a conversion scene if everyone that's watching it already accepts it? You know, this does nothing. Great Kirk Cameron, you're perfect. Okay, but no, they do a really good job. D.B. Sweeney is actually in it also, and I was really impressed with it.
Yeah, I've because I actually worked on a faith film a few years ago, and it was I won't mention the title of it, but it was one of those ones that was kind of heavy-handed. I actually later found out the guy who wrote it actually himself was I don't know if he actually himself was a practicing Christian, but they kind of said, well, we need the movie to get made, and I'm not trying to knock the project or anything like that, you know, the people who worked on it were really cool, and I enjoyed the experience, but it really did seem to me, I was kind of reading the script and, you know, looking at it, I was like, okay, this is very clearly aimed at a very certain segment of the population, there's not a lot of crossover potential there.
Well, I mean, every faith kind of has its propaganda movies.
That's
how you keep it going.
Exactly. That's why you point to Battlefield Earth.
Exactly.
You don't have to be a Christian to make a shitty faith-based
title. Yeah, that's completely true.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's
a hell of a pull, though, for them to do that.
There is something to that, because that's a very big thing in a lot of Bollywood movies. In Bollywood,
I haven't watched many of those. Okay.
Yeah, faith is a very important religion is very important to Indian cultural life, and there's always a scene where, you know, because the main character of the movie is always it's a 40-year-old superstar playing like this 20-year-old naive village kid and everything like that. But they always they always take care to show a shot of him in the temple praying just being a genuinely good guy, you know, being the nice guy that any father would be happy to give his daughter in marriage to.
Sure.
You know, but it is one of those things where in America, we have kind of a different relationship with religion and our civic life than, they do in India. But, faith is a very important aspect of a lot of these Bollywood films, and it plays a very key role. Of course, there are a lot of movies that are made in India, too, that are critical of religion. And it's not just Hinduism, but Islam and Christianity, too. All the world faiths are, represented there. But, I think that Hollywood could learn a thing or two from that.
Yeah, well,
I was just going to touch on my favorite faith-based movie of all time. That has to be Ung Bak.
Oh, yeah. The horror film?
No, not the horror film. The martial arts film.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's a Thai movie with, I wish I could
remember. Tony Jaa.
Tony Jaa, thank you.
Oh, sure.
Tony Jaa. And a lot of people watch it and they're like, no, it's just an action movie. But if you really dig down into the depths of it, the entire storyline is some people come to his small village in Thailand and desecrate the temple and steal the head from their Buddha.
Okay.
And are going to sell it on the black market because it's, you know, an artifact and they, whatnot.
And,
and he literally is going because it's his faith to steal this thing back. And that's the entire point of it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a faith-based movie at the very end of it all. A lot of ass kicking, but, you know.
Yeah. Hey, then well, that's nothing wrong with that.
Because that's the thing, is that, you know, faith-based movies does not equal religious propaganda.
Right.
Equals a story where faith is a major component.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, that's Irwin McManus, who's a pastor in Hollywood, has actually said, he's like, you know, I was more moved by the death of Mufasa in The Lion King than I was by Aslan in The Chronicles of Narnia, the first one.
Sure,
Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe. Because they went, oh, well, you know, everybody knows what that this is, that the lion is really Jesus, so we're just not going to take the time to actually tell the story properly so that people who don't know it can understand and relate to it. And it's like, it's this lazy writing that gets involved in anything. But I mean, it, really, if you look at it, Raiders of the Lost Ark has a very strong religious component.
All three of them, actually.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Because they're all heavy Christian artifacts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be done well or not.
Actually, Mickey, I'm going to have to correct you. I'm going to have to correct you there.
Yeah, the Temple of Doom was not.
The Temple of Doom, the holy artifacts were the Shiva's stones.
You're right. I'm thinking of Young Indiana and putting that in there. Wait, hold on. You're telling me the Crystal Skulls weren't Jesus?
Now the Crystal Skulls was a little weird.
That was the alien skull. That was a Scientology.
Oh shit! You got me.
Yeah.
You found a way to loop it.
You know what? It was probably Will Smith's son.
That's the crystal pyramids he's talking about. Shit.
Actually, I did. Now that you're mentioning Indiana Jones, I do want to mention. Did anyone watch Young Indiana Jones?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Fantastic series. Nobody has seen it. Nobody that I ever talked to has ever seen
it
that
comes
show.
On and off of Netflix.
I'm
going to
betray my age. I watched it in college. It was on every Wednesday night.
It's okay.
But I own them all on DVD now. It's a great series.
Yeah.
All
right. It's very well produced.
Yeah.
So, Paul, we're having a viewing party at your place.
Yeah, I'll bring the nachos.
All right. Fantastic.
Might bring the DVDs here. You guys have a bigger TV.
Can I still bring the nachos?
Yes.
All right.
Of course. Where nobody is going to deny you cooking food.
No, I'm not for everybody else. I'm just going to for you.
Oh, well, fuck you, too.
All right. Yeah, there we go.
Well, we are at the magical point that I'm sure you've heard numerous times ever since you're a heavy listener of ours.
Sure.
But it's that special time of night where we give the recommendations of the week.
Woohoo!
Oh. All right. And as is tradition, Paul, would you care to go first as the guest? Or you can defer? Would you care to defer?
Defer for the moment, because I had one and I can't remember what it was.
It's okay.
All right.
My recommendation for the week is a little old. And by a little, I mean it came out, it started in 2002, but I'm just now starting to watch it. I just started watching The Wire. And it's fucking phenomenal. Also, season one of Luke Cage and season one of The Wire are the same plot. Minus the superheroics. But, you know, that's just me. I can't talk about it because if anyone hasn't seen either of those, I'll give it away because it's the big deal.
Yeah.
But highly recommend The Wire if you haven't watched it because I'm late to the game.
Yeah. I also have another recommendation. It's classic HBO.
Ooh.
I recently just started watching the series Oz.
Oh.
Wow. And for anybody who gets squeamish about the violence in Game of Thrones, you are in for a treat. That's the thing. I'm not one of those people who's like, oh yeah, I can handle anything. You know, I will openly admit I see some things and get really squeamish about it.
That's fair.
I saw a lot of things and got really squeamish about it. I got the just two words for everybody: Simon Adebisi. Just that character is a nut.
He's a monster.
But there is I've only got through the first season, but I do know some episodes from the later seasons. If you want to see some fantastic and phenomenal acting, J.K. Simmons plays a thoroughly despicable character in that show. He plays a man named Vernon Schillinger, who's the leader of the Aryan Brotherhood in Oz. And it's such a compelling thing. And I'm not a guy who, you know, just relishes in seeing, you know, horrible things happening to people, but it's very compelling drama. Mm-hmm. Well written, and the performances are fantastic. Yeah. And if you go back and watch it, you might see some familiar faces.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of the guys that were on Law and Order mm-hmm. went through there, and
yeah, I know Chris Maloney was on.
Oh, yeah, Chris Maloney was on first, but J.K. Simmons actually was the psychologist on Law and Order in the first few seasons. That's the crazy mm-hmm. thing, because I actually worked with him on Whiplash. Mm-hmm. For a couple days. Great food. They even the background got steak and lobster tail.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. It was like
this. Yeah, you can sign me up anytime.
Yeah.
But he is like the nicest guy. But he's also the yellow M&M, if you didn't know.
Yes, he is.
So you get the, and then you get these total badass bastards that are just like, wow.
He is a very wrong with you? Actor. He was also in Spider-Man. I mean,
perfect J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he played Benny Southstreet in the 1994 revival of Guys and Dolls.
Huh. Did not know that.
Not aware of that.
Yeah. All right. That's I did Guys and Dolls in high school. Okay. And I was on record way too many times.
Okay,
that makes sense. So, Paul, do you...
I can't remember the one that I was going to recommend, but I will... I don't think I've heard you guys mention this on the show before, so I'll mention Westworld.
I've been waiting because he hasn't seen it.
I won't reveal, but like the final episode is a total mindfuck.
See, everyone keeps saying that, and it was for me so predictable that I kind of tuned out by like the second to last episode.
Oh, that's
I watched it all the way through because I love the original movie, but. And I'm not saying it was bad by any means. It was really well written. It's just, I don't know if maybe because I knew the original storyline.
I just kind of ignored it because I'm like, they're going their own way with it.
They did. But yeah.
But that's my roommate pointed that out. It's like, they kind of
sidetracked a
little.
Yes. Let's put it that way.
I'll tell you off mic. away from
Jason. I'll leave the room
I really Westworld and Anthony Hopkins is fantastic. I can't think of the guy that plays Bernard, his real name.
Oh shit, what is his name?
But he was Beats on Hunger Games also. Just fantastic actor.
Oh, yeah.
And he just
He kills it on that show really solidly. Yeah. And that's the thing. It is an amazing show, and I will be watching season two.
Yeah.
For more than anything, the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Making all the pop culture songs, like piano, amazing.
Yeah, it was reminiscent of the... you guys are a little younger, but Frasier, that used to be the thing, was you'd always listen to see who's the voice on the phone call, just to see him like... Wait, is that Tony Soprano?
And then season finale, they always had the headshots and the things, too. Big Frasier fan, actually.
Cool.
Awesome. That's a great recommendation.
I guess I have to watch Westworld in the next 5 minutes before you guys spoil the entire show for me. All right. I got some watching to do.
Yeah.
But, Paul, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No,
it was
my pleasure.
A blast having you and talking to you, as always.
And, can I make a request? Since you're a voice actor, do you have some characters in you?
I don't.
You don't? Do you have some fun voices? Anything?
I usually do.
I was going to ask.
I get the crazy. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you if you'd sign off the podcast for us, but I know it's hard to do on the spot.
No. Give me. We're in Van Nuys, still, right?
Yeah, we're in Van Nuys.
From beautiful Van Nuys, California, it's the life and times of a peon in Hollywood!
There you go. All right. Well, I'm Mickey Woodall.
I'm Jason Carpenter.
And this is...
Paul Rose Jr.
Have a great one, y'all.